Last week, the Lord laid on my heart, I preached on how will you die. Now, I don't want to be morbid. I'm glad that heaven's a real place. We've experienced a lot of death in our church family in the last few weeks. But this is just something that God laid on my heart through this week. How will you die? You're going to die just like you're living. But I saw this and it spoke to my heart. And I hope to speak to yours this morning. I will not read the context, but what has happened, the Lord Jesus Christ has died. He's been buried. He rose again. He's met with his disciples. In the first part of chapter 1, we see him ascending back into heaven. And those disciples watched, staring, looking up. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus is coming again." You believe he's coming again? Say amen. 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 I believe he came the first time. And he's coming again. And I believe it's going to be soon. And he's coming again. But the disciples, having met after his assignment for them to go into all world, preach the gospel to every creature, they decided they needed to add another one of the apostles. Judas had betrayed the Lord. And so that's what's being done here. But there's a statement made about Judas in this passage of Scripture. Nobody wants to be named Judas. You might name your bulldog Judas if you wanted to. But you don't want to name your baby Judas. And it's a name that means betrayal. It's a deceiver. And here is a startling statement made. And in some detail, the writer of the book of Acts gives an account of the death of Judas. You know, he brought the silver back into the temple and threw it down at the feet of the priest and ran out, the Bible said. He went out. And he hanged himself. He committed suicide. He died. But now notice how it's phrased in verse number 25, that he may take part, that is the one they're going to elect now, that he may take part in ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression failed, that he might go to his own place. Judas committed suicide. And he went to his own place. I want you to turn over now to the Gospel of John. Look in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. And I want to read this wonderful passage of Scripture that you've heard me quote many, many times, but I want to read it to you. Verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I like that little phrase, a place for you. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It would seem to me we have set before us this morning two different places. One, the place of Judas, and two, the place of Jesus. So not only how will you die, but where will you go? I remember Tom Gillen preaching in camp meeting a few years ago. And he said, I was in a camp meeting somewhere else and he was listening to an older preacher preach. And he said he made a statement so simple. He said, "You may not believe in heaven or in hell, but one thing's for sure, you can't stay here. You're going somewhere. A place for me. I'm going to make a place for us." And Judas went to his place. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help. Lord, I need your anointing. Thank you for this good crowd, for the vast media audience, radio and internet. And I pray God the Holy Ghost has already spoke to them through the congregational singing and the choir number. And then Brother Chris, and I pray God that you'd help me now. Lord, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me. And dear Holy Ghost of God, so many of our church family are not well this morning. So many, our Father, are grieving this morning. Many have had surgeries. And I pray God you'd bless them. And Lord, I pray God that today you'd bless us here. Meet with us, fill us with the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray you'd speak to your people. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. We were talking about the deaths, but thank God for birth. We have a beautiful baby with us over here. We celebrate Fran and Kate's birthday today. She's 4 years old, and what a blessing. And then Joanne and Clark had a grandbaby just born. Do pray for the little one. It was born, the cord wrapped around her little neck, but she's doing well, weighed a little over 6 pounds. But she's in the NICU up in UNC for a few days. But you remember them in prayer, and thank God for such a gift. A place. How many of you ever heard this phrase? There's no place like home. No place like home. And I believe that. How many of you believe that? Say amen. I love our house. We love being around the house. Thank God for it. And then even our dog, we take our dog to a place we board when he board him when we're gone, and it's called No Place Like Home. And they treat him like he's at home, and he likes it there. But that's a good phrase, No Place Like Home. But I worked years ago in the mill with a dear black lady who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. She was such a blessing to me. And I'd say to her something about the Lord, about her getting a little age on her. And she said, Brother Billy, she said, I'm tickled to death. She said, at such and such an address right out here just outside of Roanoke Rapids, she said, that's my stay place. Some people would call it home. She said, but that ain't my home. That's just my stay place. She said, my home is over yonder, and I can't hardly wait to get home. And boy, I remember that. It blessed my heart. Heaven is her home. You know, there was a good song some time ago that said some called it heaven and some called it this, but I called it home. What a blessing to do. But think about this statement about Judas. Judas went to his place. Judas was numbered, it said, with the apostles. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil? Judas never was saved. He wasn't in the place, even though he was with the disciples. He lived a life of deceit and deception. They thought he was at his place in among them. I don't know if he chose the position or if the Lord gave him position or they just delegated it to him, but he kept the bag. He kept their money for their traveling expenses and all of that. They thought the whole time he was one of them. They thought the whole time that he fit in and he was in his place among the apostles at that time. But Jesus knew from the beginning who he was that would betray him, the Bible said. And again, the statement he made, I've chosen 12 of you, but one of you is a devil. He knew it from the very beginning. You remember the statement made in the New Testament about those who said, Lord, we've done this and done that and done the other. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Here's a man who walked with Jesus for almost 3.5 years. He saw every miracle. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He was involved in all of their ministries, everything they did. And yet he was a deceiver. He was never born again. He was never saved. He was a betrayer. And it was made evident when the opportunity arose for him to be able to be captured. The priest sought for an occasion where they could get him, where the crowd wasn't around. They were fearful of the crowd because many of the people of that day believed that Jesus was the Christ. And they believed that he was God incarnate in human flesh. And so they sought an occasion, the Bible says, to where they could take Jesus, not in the general public. But Judas was the only one who had access to that knowledge. And when the time was right and the word came to him, he went and he betrayed the Lord and said, you can catch him in a place of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nobody will be there but him and the disciples. None of the general public will know where he's at. It'll be a time when you can save face and you can arrest him. And he betrayed the Lord. But he wasn't real. He was a deceiver. He was playing a part. He never knew the Lord. And now it's made evident. The Lord does not give a lot of great details about the horrors of the place that he went in this passage. In other passages, he does. But think about this. He went to his place. This world, like mine and yours, was not his home. He was here for a brief time, but there was a place for him. The Bible says, the Lord said that he had prepared hell for the devil and his angels, but also those who have rejected Christ, who've never been born again, will spend eternity there as well. I thought about this place in just a few little simple words this morning. Let's look at the place of Judas. Number one, it was a prepared place. He already had it made. The Bible said the Lord made this statement that hell was a place prepared for the devil and his angels. It was a place of consignment. And for all who reject Christ, for all those who will not believe on him, it is your place as well. In the sound of my voice in this building or in the internet audience, you do have a place of appointment. It is a prepared place. It is a horrible place. I thought Judas had been with the disciples and with our Lord for all those 3.5 years, but now he's at his place with his people, the people to whom he belonged, the people who he identified with most of all by his character and by what he did. He's in a place called hell. In the book of Revelation, it lists those people as being whoremongers, wicked people, adulterers, robbers, thieves, murderers, and unbelievers. And that's where they are, in that place, the people whom he has to associate with. I hear people talking about working in a certain environment, and they say, we like the work, but the people, it's the environment, the people that make it. Can you imagine picking out the most vile, the most vulgar, the most wicked people you can ever imagine, and having to be in a place with them for all eternity? But this place is not a place of pleasure. It is not a place of rest. It is not a place of peace. This is not a place of fellowship. Some people say, I have heard them say, I'm going to go down to hell and I'm going to party with all my friends. You'll not find that in the Bible. There's no partying in hell, because not only do I notice the people that are in hell, I want you to note the punishment in hell. It is a place prepared. There's a place called the lake of fire that you would be in for all eternity. You're those who are dead now in a place called hell. But even there, as the Lord described the rich man who fared sumptuously every day but did not know God, he was cast. He went in to that place called hell. It's a place of torment, first of all. I know of friends, and you know of friends, who live in constant agony. Some have a debilitating type of arthritis that causes their hands to be twisted and gnarled, their joints, and it's constant pain. Without medication, it would be almost unbearable. They couldn't stand it. And then folk who have problems with their back, and we've got several in our church, and my heart goes out to them, because you remember I had an occasion when I had the most excruciating pain of my life, when I had infection in my spine. It was a horrible thing. I could not stand. I couldn't sit. It was constant. But can you imagine being the most agonizing pain you've ever experienced in your life and to find absolutely zero relief from that pain? That's where Judas went to. It was his place. It was assigned to him. It was prepared for him because he did not make preparation before he died. It has to be done now. It has to be done before you die. And it's a place of torment. It's a place of great thirst. Thirst is a horrible thing. I've done some studying one time on death and dying. And it said that death by thirst is one of the most agonizing deaths there is. You become dehydrated. Your joints begin to ache. Every cell of your body is crying out with pain, wanting water to have. Your lips begin to dry and to crack and to bleed. And he's in a place now, a place of torment, a place of fire. and he wants one drop of water, the man did, of the beggar Lazarus, just one little drop of water, he said, to cool my parched tongue, but it never came. It is a place of thirst. It is a place of memory. He said to Abraham, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger. And he said, remember that in your lifetime you had everything you needed, but now you're tormented and he's comforted. It's a place of memory. There's things that haunt you sometime and you wrestle at night and you wish you could just not think about it anymore, get it out of your mind. You wish you somehow could have some peace and rest. But in hell, you'll remember. You'll remember. I think about Felix and all that almost thou persuadest me. Almost. I believe in hell he walks around today screaming, almost, almost, almost I believed. Almost I got saved. But it's a place of awful memory. I'm sure that even now Judas remembers the resurrection of Lazarus. Remember the healing of the woman of Issue of blood. Remember the joyous celebration as he entered Jerusalem. I'm sure he remembers all those occasions. I remember when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll give to you living water and it'll be in your well, spring it up. And he's dying with thirst, dying and never able to die. He's in a place of punishment forever. And that leads me to the last statement I want to make about his place. Is a place of permanence, forever and forever. The Bible said in hell there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it will be forever and forever. Forever torment, forever thirst, forever pain, forever regret, forever memory that haunts you, and you're in a place of no rest, a place of darkness, no fellowship, and it lasts forever and ever and ever. Brother Avery Rogers used to talk about people spending eternity, but you don't spend eternity. You don't flip a calendar. It's not one day after another. It is just eternity. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no relief to be had or hoped for. It is forever and forever. But oh, what a contrast in John 14. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There is a place. There is a place. And he said, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He prayed in John 17, I pray that they might all be where I am. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, if you'll come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. You may come, everybody may come, that they may get to go to this place. It too is a prepared place, but it's not a place of fire and torment. It is prepared by God. Oh, I think it is important to know what kind of place you're going to go to. You want to know if you're going to go spend the night somewhere, if you're going to go spend a week somewhere, you want something that's well made. You want something with good decorative decor. You want something with good air and heating and cooling. You want one with just a good environment, perhaps a good view. You find some. There's some beautiful places. I have been to some beautiful places. I've stayed in some Roach Motels, too. Virginia, I'll tell you all about those. But we have made plans. But if best you can, you want to stay in the best place you can. Can I tell you, you'll never, ever, ever find a place like this in this world, nor in the world to come. You could go visit the grandest hotel or the greatest castle anywhere in this world, and it wouldn't hold a light to what he's prepared for you, for what heaven's going to be like. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. Oh, what a place it's going to be. A prepared place for the saints of God. Oh, he's expecting you. He made preparation for you. I think it's going to be just amazing when we get to that place where the Lord has prepared for all those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there are people there too. You'll be not only in your place, but you'll be with your people, those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those whose names were never recorded in history in any fashion, but they walked with God and loved God. There are mothers there, and brothers and sisters and family and farmers and doctors and folk from around the world, red or yellow, black and white, heavens filled with folk who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a time of fellowship. There is interaction among people in heaven. There's rejoicing around the throne of God. There's interaction. You'll know even as you're known, you'll know everybody there. You don't have to ask anybody, who is this? Is it Moses or is it Paul? You'll know automatically. You'll know everybody that's there. You'll be part of the group. It's going to be a wonderful place. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil, for thou art with me. And he goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The beauty and the splendor of heaven, I can no way explain to you, but I will tell you this, it will be home. It's prepared for you. You won't feel out of place. You'll feel you're welcome there. You'll just rejoice in the splendor of heaven, and you'll be with all the saints of all the ages. What a blessing. What a blessing to be a babe around Fanny Crosby, who was blind, and yet she wrote over 1,000 songs, and we sing them today. What a blessing to see her in her brand new body and to sing around the throne of God with her. Oh, listen, to think of all the beauty and all the men of God and all the dear saints. But oh, what a blessing to see your family. 1 Thessalonians said the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ arise first. That is the resurrected bodies of the believer. And they will be together, the Bible said, we'll meet them together in the clouds and then meet the Lord in the air. You'll be with your family who's saved, that you love so dearly and you treasured so much and you miss so much. But one of these days you'll be together forever and ever in that place. What a place called heaven, to be in a place designed for you. Beauty beyond our descriptive words. No way we can describe it. No way we can explain it. Even if we went there and came back, we couldn't explain it to you. My dear friend, to be with all the saints of all the ages and all your loved ones, and to know it's reality, that you'll never ever again be separated. You'll be together for all eternity. And where hell is a place of punishment, the Bible says that heaven is a place of pleasures. At thy right hand, he said, there are pleasures evermore. Forever in a pleasant place, forever to feel the love of God, to be around the saints of God, joy, peace, fellowship with him for all eternity. You just imagine the atmosphere of that place called heaven, the singing in heaven. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful time. It's a beautiful place. It is a place of pleasure. It is a place prepared. It's a place where we can sing and rejoice and praise him forever and ever. And what a blessing it'd be. No more. No more. The absence of so many things will make it a pleasant place. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more pain, no more separation. What a blessing to be in that place. What an opportunity to be in that place and live forever. And oh, it is too a permanent place. There's no night there. It's always daytime, and you'll never tire. You'll never get sleepy. You'll just be there forever. Eternal young, Jesus said, the Bible said, he had the dew of youth upon his brow. You'll be forever young in heaven, and what a place to rejoice. It is forever and ever. David said, I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. The verse in 1 Thessalonians said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is forever and forever. You say, well, it's going to get old after a while. No, it won't ever get old. That's the thing. Well, as the song said, we'll never grow old, but you won't ever get used to it won't ever wear off. It'll always be new, be fresh. One day, looking at that passage of scripture, he said that they might behold my glory. The glory is the radiated glory of God that comes off the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like light rays. It's like sound rays. And it's ever going, ever going. If you go down to the coast, you'll enjoy the breezes coming off and the waves coming in and they roll out and they come back again. And it's over and over again, over and over again. Well, in heaven, the glory of God comes in waves, joy unspeakable, but full of glory. If you didn't have a brand new body, you couldn't even stand it. And it'll be radiant all the time, joy all the time, around the saints of God all the time, in his presence for all the time, singing, rejoicing, and forever blessed in a place called heaven for all eternity, for all eternity. There's a place. Judas went to his place. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. So he had his place and you can have your place. Well, what makes the difference? How is it that he had his place and we could have our place, your place? It is him. It is him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But he also said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to go to this place, if you want to go to your place, it's for you, a place where he's prepared for those who believe on him. You have to know him. You have to receive him. You see, death is a great revealer. It's not anything down here. Paul, this morning, Brother Barry was talking about that Cain had to stand before the Lord and give an answer for his brother Abel that he killed. And he raised the question, what's going to be like when you stand before him? Well, the truth of the matter is this, death is the great revealer. When you stand before him, it won't be whether you're going to go to heaven or hell or not. For those who are saved at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll have to give an account of the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad, whether we loved him and served him faithfully, or if we would neglected our duties and we live with secret, unseen, unconfessed sin in our life. For the believer, it's a matter of rewards or loss. But for the lost, it's a matter of degrees of punishment, I believe, at the great white throne. Because you say, I'm going to live my life and do my own thing. It won't hurt nobody but me, but it will. It'll hurt generations to come. I think of all the sins of the past and men like Hitler and he killing 6 million Jews and all of that. That's horrific. But the repercussions of that through all these years, he'll reap all the sin, all the things that were done. An ungodly example in the life of a father gave his life to sexual sins and to alcohol and dies lost and burns in hell, but his influence on his children and his grandchildren down the line, he'll give an account for all of that influence as well. That's why there's a judgment of the lost, because your wicked influence does not end when you die. It continues on, and you'll have to be punished for that excess and to that excess in eternity. Sin is an ongoing thing. And you have to reap the benefits of that sin in hell. My dear friend, for those who know the Lord, it is joy, it is blessing, and thank the Lord for that. When you stand before God as a lost man, you will not be accuse him of putting you in hell. The only one reason you'll be in hell is because you chose your place. You chose not to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You, like you are now, lost, you would enjoy heaven anyway. Be up there all the time. Some of you were thinking when I was talking about singing and praising God and rejoicing, you thought, well, that's going to be old. That'll get old, but it won't. My dear friend, you wouldn't enjoy it at all. You don't even like preaching. You don't even like singing much down here. If it goes past 12 o'clock, you're fooled to next week this time. My dear friend, it's not the death at the judgment seat. You have to give an answer at the white throne and the believers at the judgment seat. But the decision has to be made now. What you've decided in your heart now, what you're living right now, is going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. Have you been born again by the grace of God? Is he your only hope of heaven? If you have works and grace, it's no more grace. It's got to be all of grace. All in God's unmerited favor. I was thinking this morning when Brother Barry was teaching about Abel, he did the very best he could. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve sinned, they cursed the ground. God cursed the ground and said, by the sweat of your brow. He'd worked hard. He worked hard on his garden. He gathered out the rocks, and I can imagine day in, day out, cleaning up a garden spot and pulling briars and fighting weeds and all of those things, and had wonderful fruits. Labor of his hands. He remembered all the labor, all the good work he put into it, and he brought that to the Lord. But that's not what God wanted, because you're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith and only through the shed blood of Christ. and you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Death is the revealer. What you are when you die is what you really are. It's just a blink, just a blink. I went by Brother Danny's yesterday, Friday, on three different occasions. I went that morning, went in the afternoon, and then went back that night after he'd passed. It's just a short time, one day. Just a few days ago, he was laughing. A few days ago, he's with his family. A few days ago, he's talking. A few days ago, he was enjoying his puppy dogs, and they were enjoying him. But death changed all of that. Danny, I believe, knew the Lord. He's in heaven. And death is just a blink. But with that blink, you know what you really are. You're either saved or lost. It's like this door. Jesus said, I'm the door. You be in the auditorium, and when you come to that door and you push that bar, you take one step, and you're no longer in the auditorium. The Bible says there's one step between thee and death. When you take that one step, you're out of it. You're out of the auditorium. No wider the threshold probably than 2 or 3 inches. You say you're 2 or 3 inches from life or death, from being here or being gone. It's just that quick. You won't have time to repent. You won't have time making change. So today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Your place. On forms you fill out, you have your name and you have your place of residence, your street address and the town and the zip code. If you had to write on a piece of paper this morning your place, would it be Judah's place or would it be Jesus' place? Could you say with all of your heart and with full assurance, my home is in heaven, just as sure as I'm already there, because I'm not depending on me. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You put a question mark there. You don't know. I believe he said, these things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You're supposed to know. He wouldn't say, I'm writing these things so you can know. If you couldn't know, you can know, and you had better know. Where is your place? Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Jesus has a place. I go to prepare a place for you. He has a place. Judas has a place. We call it hell. That's the only two options. You don't have many ways to go. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you have him? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of Man hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. That means that you already made your decision. You've not believed on Christ. You've rejected Christ. You're now under a death penalty that's not yet been executed. The wrath of God abideth upon you. It hangs over you like a heavy cloud. In just a blink of an eye, it may fall. And you'll be in another world. You'll be in another place with no opportunity to change your mind, or to change your way, or to believe. You can pray in hell all you want to. Rich man prayed. He didn't ever get out. Can't anybody pray you out of hell? You get there, it's a permanent place. No escape, no exits forever. But today is the day of salvation. Right now you can know that you're saved. And for those of you who are saved, we need to live our life in light of his return, but also in light of our death. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, naught of this world's elusive dream. Don't have anything in your life that you need to do that you have not done. no confessions to be made, no asking for repentance or for forgiveness of sin. Clean, far as you know, not one thing between your soul and the Savior. Going to heaven simply by His blood, by His grace. My plea, my only plea is Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Dear friend, in the media audience and in this building, it's very simple. Judas' place or Jesus' place? You make the decision now. You believe now. You don't know when death's coming. You don't know when you'll leave this world. But you can know where you're going when you do. I, Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You came that men might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That any boy, girl, man, or woman can be born again by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, recognizing their own sin and believing that Christ died, buried, and rose again for them, and that He's alive now. Believing in their heart, confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus that God has raised from the dead, and calling upon Your name, they have access to heaven. Lord, I pray right now in this building and in the media audience, people already in their heart are turning to You and crying out to You. Church members, those who've been baptized, those who've lived right, those who don't know Christ. I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God will make it real to them. Lord, I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that You would draw by Your grace and save people for Your glory. I pray that God's people would experience a real revival and rejoicing and thanking You for salvation and thanking You for a place called heaven. May the song, when we all get to heaven, live in their heart and soul this afternoon and rejoicing that they're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that they'll be with their loved ones soon and all pain and sorrow and sickness will be gone forever and they'll forever be with the Lord and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Help us to live in light of heaven. Lord, I pray, God, You'd speak to hearts now.